All right, turning your Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Start here in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 11 here. Read through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, great King, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you very much for the opportunity that we have to continue to get together and to hear the word preached and to partake of the Lord's Supper, to get together and to encourage one another. Lord, I pray that you be with me tonight as I deliver this message, and just pray that it is encouraging to the saints. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so tonight I'm working through the final installment in a series that I've entitled Engaging the Spirit. I've basically been focusing on some fundamental spiritual disciplines that are necessary to engage in if we wish to really have the growth that is described and ascribed to us in the Scripture. If we want to be new creatures in Christ daily, then we need to engage in these things. And I came up with this little thing that helps me remember, little triangle thing. So, you know, I don't know if it works for you. Well, it works for me. So, anyway, that's what we've been talking about, and I'm going to wrap that up tonight. So far, I've talked about the need to have faith in the Word of God and all of what it has to say. We talked about the importance of developing a deliberate and consistent prayer life. You're never going to grow without a prayer life. You will plateau pretty quickly. Got to have a prayer life. And, of course, we talked about the power that is to be found in daily Bible reading, especially when you pair that with prayer. And I hope that if you haven't started that, that you have daily Bible reading and prayer. And if you are doing it, keep it up. Tonight I want to cover a subject that has been mentioned several times already and today, and many times in the past several weeks. And that, of course, is the last of this shape, whatever. I forgot the word I was using for it, the symbol, whatever. And that is, of course, assembly to break bread. This is a priority that we have to make in our lives. We have got to make a priority to be here, not only to assemble to break bread, but to be with the congregation whenever we get together, for whatever purpose. Our congregation has seen a lot of change in the last several years, a lot of challenges, especially in the last 5 to 6 years. And I am personally encouraged to see the growth both in numbers, but of course also in the spiritual sense, I'm very encouraged to see the growth there as well. There's been a spiritual focus that has come out of a lot of these changes and challenges. Regarding the numbers, when I was preparing my message, I always have bulletins, and they're not always last month's or last week's. They're kind of all over the place. So these four that I had in my Bible, there's three there. There's the last one. Well, I had four. Now I have three. There's one up here. Anyway, the last ones that I had, they were from January, one from January, one from May, one from October, and then one from December. So a kind of a variety. We average, so out of these four random bulletins, we average about 133 souls for Sunday morning assembly. 133. Now, how many of you used to assemble at the Hojo? I want you to raise your hand. Used to assemble at the Hojo years ago. Okay? Not a lot of us. Some of us that used to assemble have left, have gone on. Some have passed away. I remember the days when we were excited to break 30. You guys remember that? Preaching in Mr. Wilson's basement. I'll never forget that because Mr. Wilson's basement isn't very big. And we'd pack the place, man. It was awesome. And, you know, if this is the audience and you were preaching, you're standing right here. You didn't have to carry a Bible because you could read the guy sitting there. But that was awesome. It was great. And, you know, I can remember those days, and we looked forward to the days when we consistently had 100 people. I mean, I remember we set goals, and we started really making a strong push, and we really started focusing on evangelism and discipleship, and man, it was great, and so much change and so much growth happened in that such a short amount of time. Well, you know, those days have arrived. We're well over 100 now. On an average Sunday morning. And it's exciting to see new faces. It's exciting to see this growth all the time. Because, you know, when you bring new people in, it reminds you of just how much fun this is, isn't it? I mean, Scott's not here tonight, but man, when you bring in a new Christian and you bring somebody in and it's like, man, all the stuff that they get to learn and all the stuff that they get to work through and all the challenges that are going to face them. Talk about exciting stuff. But, you know, with that growth comes a certain set of challenges. I want to illustrate this by sharing some additional calculations with you. As I already mentioned, we average 133 for morning assembly, but look at how much the numbers change as we look at other assembly times. So morning assemblies, we average 133. And out of those four bulletins that I pulled, and maybe the numbers are a little off, but from my sample, Bible school we have an average of 70. So that means that 53% of the people that come Lord's Day morning are here for morning Bible class. That means 47% of those people are not here for Bible class, on average. How about evening assembly? Our average is 75. So 56% of those people that attend morning assembly are here on evening assembly, meaning that the other 46% don't show up. And then Wednesday evening, that's 67. That's 50%. So what does this tell us? It tells us that we have a lot of work to do. And that the work is here in the congregation, not just out there. I mean, that's our calling. We are supposed to go out and get more, right? But the church grows by bringing more people in and by strengthening those that are already here. And we have a challenge. And you know what? If you're here tonight, you're one of those that are probably here all the time. I look around, I don't see a lot of new faces. I see the same faces most of the time. So good for you. Great job. Keep it up. But we have some challenges. Some challenges that face us that we're going to have to learn to over, or that we're going to have to meet and overcome. As this challenge relates to some of the other aspects of spiritual discipline, faith, prayer, Bible reading, this may be one of the most challenging aspects for some. And the reason I say that is because the other items, faith and prayer and Bible reading, do not rely on anyone else. The reason that this might be one of the most challenging things for people is because it's dealing with other people. You know, I don't have a lot of time, so I won't get off track. The thing is you cannot control other people as much as we would like to sometimes. You know, we can see from this passage of scripture that I read here in Ephesians chapter 4 that the assembly is essential to maturing in Christ. No man is an island. You cannot do this alone. There are no solo acts. There are no lone rangers. There are no spiritual supermen or Wonder Woman that have been sent to do this apart from anyone else. We have got to learn that we need to do this. The only way we can do this, the only way that we can win is together. This is why I believe it is crucial for the Christian to attend every assembly whenever possible. Unless there are, of course, circumstances beyond your control that would keep you from being here. If you can be counted as one of the faithful who do attend every service and every assembly, I encourage you to excel still more. If you're here tonight, and do by your own choice, if you're not here tonight, let me back up. If you're here tonight, and you, by your own choice, miss Bible class and Wednesday evenings, or usually miss evening assemblies, my goal is to encourage you to put your priorities in the proper order. I'm glad you're here. But if you're not normally here for those other things, you should be. In either case, I encourage you, maybe you are at all the assemblies. That is fantastic. But whatever the situation is, I encourage you to encourage those who aren't here to be here to be encouraged. Okay? So the theme of my message tonight is encouragement. And I hope that's coming across. So with this goal of encouragement in mind, let's look at why I believe this to be a top priority, to make it to assembly. First of all, you are fulfilling the commands of God, as was already spoken about this morning, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on it. But let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10. From kind of a relatively negative side, verse 25. Let's start in verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The thing is we are commanded to get together. It is a warning against the complete abandonment of assembling with others. You all know people that, whether they are here or if they're in other towns, wherever, that they don't have a congregation to go to on a regular basis. I would not want to be them. It's hard. It is really, that you can tell when you encounter them, they need fellowship. They're like a dry sponge. And they need to suck it up because that's all they got. The thing is that we have got to be careful about abandoning assemblies here and there. Well, I don't really follow what Mr. Wilson's talking about on Sunday morning, so I don't want to be I'll just come on Sunday after the class. Well, you know what? I really don't need to be there for the singing, so I'll show up after that. You know, it really only says that we only have to, assemble to break bread. So I'll just come Sunday morning and then I'll leave right after. I really don't need the message. I can listen online. Thing is that you get into that slippery slope and eventually you don't come at all. And then you die. While forsaking the one assembly a week, it becomes a lot easier when to forsake them all, to build that habit. But if you build the habit of attending every service, every assembly, you're not very likely to begin skipping and then stop coming altogether. See the way that works? We're also commanded to edify one another. Lots of scriptures I can go to in that regard. I'll just read the verses for you so you don't have to go there. Romans 14, 19, 15 verses 1 through 3, Hebrews chapter 3 verses 12 through 14. Here's the thing. Your presence here, in the chair, in the pew, does not benefit the chair. Who do you think it benefits? Looking around, everybody else. Chair couldn't care less if you're there or not. But you being here benefits everybody else. I didn't tell him about this earlier, and I'm probably going to embarrass him terribly, but somebody I'm really happy to see back is that guy right there, Frank. I haven't seen him in a while. And he's back. And I'm happy to see you, buddy. The thing is, I would bet if you have a chance to talk to him, that one of the reasons he's here is because he understands that missing assemblies didn't lead him in a path that was very good. I don't know, I haven't talked to him about it. But based upon experience with other people, I'd say it's a pretty good guess. Thanks for being here, Frank. I appreciate it. And I'm encouraged by you, buddy. He's also very faithful on Wednesday nights, too, which is awesome. So we are here to encourage and to build each other up. If you're absent most of the time, I know I worry about you. I wonder what's going on. I wonder how you're doing. I'm wondering, hopefully it's, something you can avoid. And if it is something you can avoid, I want you to be here. You know, if one of the things or one of the challenges that I've heard is that, well, you know, I don't have any friends in the assembly. Okay, you show up once a month. How are you going to make a friend? Really? If you want friends, be friendly. Be here. Be encouraging. Shake some hands. Go out of your way to talk to somebody. You know, don't come in and sit in your pew and moan about it and then wonder why nobody wants to talk to you. Go out and be encouraging. That's why you're here. The other, of course, command that we have is to seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's go there because we can't not talk about that one. And this is really a lot of what this is about, is setting our priorities in the proper order. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Of course, most of you can probably quote that. I could give it a shot, but I'd mess it up because I'm standing in front of all of you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It is a sacrifice to be here, is it not? You know, I know a lot of people that are very, very business oriented. Man, they wanna get out there and they wanna take the world. They wanna do this. They wanna go there and they wanna make stuff happen. And yet they're not here. I'm sorry, but all that stuff they're gonna make happen on this earth, it's gonna cost them their soul. We have to make sure that we have, well, we all have priorities, don't we? We just have to make sure that we put them in the right order. You know, and a lot of Christians will not accept the job if it means missing assembly. And I praise you for that, and obviously God does too. And even when they do that, when they don't take a job, or they don't take a promotion, or they don't take a move that maybe pulls them to another city where there isn't a congregation, God still provides for their needs. Many Christians will not play sports or do other extracurricular activities that conflict with their ability to make it here. I know Mr. Wilson talked about that this morning with Kendall. You know, it's one thing to miss because one provides a critical service. I don't want you to, you know, if you're providing medical care or you literally cannot make it, I pray for all the best for you. And I want to help out however I can. It's one of the great things about our congregation. I'm really thankful we go and assemble with Sister Sue. She's a great lady. If you haven't had the opportunity to go out and assemble with Sister Sue, you need to. She's a fireball. She's a lot of fun. But at any rate, you know, if there's things that you can't, you just, you know, you're providing critical services or whatever, but you just, you can't miss, hey, that's another thing. You know, how about this? Some people will stay home because Sunday, you know, they're tired, they've had a long week, and they already went Sunday morning, and, oh, I just got to get some sleep, and you know what? I'm going to call malarkey on that. There was a lady that, Marty was her name. She was an older lady when we were here. And it took her a very long time to get out of the car and get into her chair at the back. And yet she consistently made it more often than most people that were able-bodied and made a decision not to be here. Thing is, these same people will say that, well, you know, I'm just tired and I had a hard week. You know, they'll go out all night. And, you know, do work things or whatever. I'm not saying they're out partying or anything. I'm just saying that they'll find the energy to do the things they want to do. But we need to make sure that we're putting the proper emphasis on the things we need to be doing. You know, we have to put Christ even before our family. You know, this time of year, that's tough. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 10. It's never really easy, but Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." Brethren, we have got to put Christ first in everything. Because, you know, family's not going to save you. And as I tell people when we start studying, even before that, when we have those conversations, it's hopefully something that people remember, is that when you individually stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it is you. Not your wife standing for you, not your husband, not Mr. Wilson, not Mr. Simpson. It's you. You have to answer. So we have to make sure that we put our priorities in the right place. You know, who's your true family? Let's go over to chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 46. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. You know what? The relationship that you build with people in the church, at least I'll speak for myself, is a lot stronger than most of the relationships I have with my physical family. Because for nothing else, we're heading in the same direction. So, if we can say that we are faithfully keeping these commandments that God has given us, or these commands, then we're going to be here. We're not going to miss. We're not going to skip out on encouraging the fellow saints. I also sincerely believe that it's absolutely necessary to attend every assembly if we want to grow and develop spiritually. This is kind of the point of what I've been working through. And that is that every time we have the opportunity to get together, to use common vernacular, it's not for our health. You know? I mean, it doesn't happen so much anymore, but there's about 2 years there where one person would get sick and then the whole congregation would be sick for like 3 months. Doesn't happen quite so much anymore, thankfully. But the thing is that we don't get together for the sake of our health. We get together so that we can build each other up, so that we can learn, so that we can, if nothing else, understand that there are others that are facing the same challenges and overcome them. We get together so that we can grow in Christ. You know, we want to participate in Bible classes, whether Sunday morning or Wednesday evening. Wednesday evenings are great. You know, with a congregation this size, 130 plus people, you know, I think there was one of the weeks there in there that we were like 174 or something. I don't even know what happened that week, but with a congregation that size, it's actually pretty easy to just come in, sit in the back, and leave and never talk to anybody. Wednesday nights, that's a whole lot harder, and that's probably why our numbers dropped by half. So be here for the Bible studies, because it's an opportunity for you to learn. You got Bible questions? Yeah. Well, where are you going to get them answered? Do some study. But be here so that you can be educated and so you can ask those questions. You know, if you listen to the foolishness of the message preached, it's going to help you to grow. Period. Let's go over Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Beginning verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practices have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Brethren, we are not supposed to still be on milk. If you've been a Christian for 5 years and you still don't know how to find some pretty important and key passages in the Scripture, you better start, you know, stop gumming your food and get some steak. You better grow up, because you're going to get chewed up and spit out. You know, even the songs. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. You know, I've had the opportunity to be at other churches of Christ churches, and other Christ Church affiliated ones, and you know, a lot of those guys, they can really sing. It sounds awesome. I'm thankful for that. And sometimes we go a little astray, but I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit's there to straighten it out for us, so it arrives to the Lord just as beautiful as could be. Those songs, though, at verse 16, chapter 3 of Colossians. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know what singing? It's supposed to be there to encourage you, which it does. So all these things that we do in the assembly, they're here for our growth. They're here to help us learn. But growth, in any case, is dependent upon our diet. The Lord's Supper is our time to come for spiritual nourishment. You cannot grow on a starvation diet. You will not overcome. If you attend irregularly, you're eventually going to suffer from spiritual malnutrition. And that spiritual malnutrition is going to leave you susceptible to temptation. Just like regular physical malnutrition will leave you susceptible to disease. And rather than living a strong and joyful and peaceful spiritual life, one of filled with growth and success, you're going to fail. Time and time again. And eventually you're going to leave. And you're going to die. A lot we can say about that, but just for the sake of wrapping this up, a couple of other things here is that you're here, your attendance at the assembly is here to help the church function properly. The church needs people, needs workers, needs people. They need people who are going to be willing to teach, be willing to learn the material ahead of time so they can teach. And, you know, Mr. Simpson, I love you to death, buddy, but he's not going to live forever. At least not on this earth anyway. Sorry to tell you that. Thank you for the clarification. So, anybody want to take his place? I hope so. Hope several of you are thinking about it. Well, what happens when he's the first one to go to jail? Oh, wait, no, we won't go down that road. Here, but you understand the point. Is that there's got to be some people that are willing to step up and put the effort in so that they can teach as well. You know, you can't come in here and say that you're not needed. The Lord put you here. He's the coach. He chose you. He put you on this team. Who are you to say to Him that I'm a bench warmer. No such thing. You know, that's, well, okay. Anyway, we'll keep going. How about things like, maybe leading a song or two? How about doing public reading? I heard that Jeff actually volunteered for that. Is that correct? Hey, man, it took you 7 years, but that's awesome. That's a record. I don't want anybody to beat that one. I want him to hold that one forever. But good job. We need guys who are willing to step up and do something. And Jeff does a lot otherwise. I'm not saying that he doesn't. But Jeff's not an upfront guy like this, so I understand. But he does a lot of other things that are great for the congregation. We need people who are willing to help Mrs. Love out. It's not all up to the goals. Aren't we here to take care of one another? How about preparing communion? You know, I'm really thankful that when I come up here to do Lord's Supper, I don't have to go back and get it. I'm really thankful for the ladies that prepare the bread and the juice. And they put all the cups in. They do all those things. I don't have to do that. I've never had to touch it. I'm really thankful for that. Well, how about cleaning the building? John Adams, love that guy. John Adams, I don't know if he still does this, but the rumor was in Bozeman he would basically find you. You haven't signed up yet. You good this day? It's the whole 80-20 rule, and the 20% that do 80% of the work would love to see 10% of the 80% that aren't doing the work to get involved for 30 and 70. Seriously. Want an opportunity to serve? Without any glory? Clean the toilet. Those things need to happen? Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things to do in the assembly, a lot of things that take place outside the assembly as well. How about visiting the sick, helping the needy, leading a Bible study? How about strengthening the weak? How about being a second man or woman in a study? How about being there to help somebody who maybe can't do the work themselves anymore? Rake a lawn, mow a lawn, shovel some snow, whatever. The thing is that the church is dependent upon its members. You know, we all have wonderful Bibles, but the Bible doesn't do anything without you doing it. You can't, you're hungry? Here. You need some help shoveling? Here. No, it doesn't work that way. God sends you. The church is dependent upon its members. Members who attend frequently and do the things that are needed to do are the ones who are going to grow. But if you don't attend very often, you're really going to do very little else for the rest of the church. Do we want the church to grow? Do we want to see souls saved? Do we want to see the weak encouraged? Do we want to see your children have good spiritual teachers? Mikhail mentioned that this morning about the Bible, about the teachers in the Bible classes. Do you want good, solid teachers? You know, sometimes it doesn't occur to people until they're the ones that their kids are going to be taught by somebody else. They all of a sudden have a problem with somebody. Didn't seem to bother them when they weren't showing up. If you want solid teachers, you need people who are here all the time, who are being encouraged and being built up. And a church is no stronger than the collective strength of its members. A church is like links in a chain. Classic analogy. If there's a missing link in the chain, it's going to affect the entire thing. We're a body. We are connected, whether we want to admit it or not. We are connected and all a part of the same body. Churches where the attendance drops on Sunday and Wednesday nights will really never live up to their potential in serving the Lord. That's kind of the bottom line of this. If I want to put a challenge out there, just as I have on the rest of my messages. I want to challenge you. If you're sitting in the pew tonight, or you're listening online, I want to encourage you to bring one more person that you know that attends on Sunday morning, but they're not here Sunday night or Wednesday. Think of how to encourage them to be here. Remind them of how important it is to get that spiritual food. Remind them of how important their influence is and how their encouragement, how powerful their encouragement is to the rest of the congregation. I challenge you to find a way to get them here. My hope is that through the things we've discussed concerning the need to have faith in the Word of God and all of what it says, that I've encouraged you to believe more. Hey, there's some triumphant song there. Thanks, Stacy. Appreciate it. My hope is also that while we've discussed the importance of developing a deliberate and consistent prayer life, that you've developed a deeper relationship with God, or that you're planning on doing it. I also hope that the power that we've discussed, that is found in the Scriptures, in daily Bible reading, paired with prayer, has empowered you to change your world. And I pray that the encouragement to make it to every assembly will encourage you to be here and to encourage each other and to bring more in. Brethren, we're not going to make it on our own. We need each other. If we want to continue to win in a battle that rages around us every day, we have got to learn to set our priorities. We've got to put them in the right order. We've got to build this foundation of faith. We've got to consistently read and pray. We need to be here for the assemblies because we need to be a part of the same army marching in the same direction. We've got some pretty tall marching orders. We've got a lot to do. And the only way we're going to do it is together with the Lord. Let's stand. Let's pray. Great God, Heavenly King, it is such a blessing to be able to come before you and to know that you hear us and to contemplate the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, the debt that was paid that we could never pay. Lord, it is truly humbling, and it is amazing. I don't know how else to describe it, Lord, to just consider what you have done for us. Lord, and I pray that through the things that we learn in your word, that we are changed by the things that we learn and that we understand our individual value. And that we understand how important we are to the congregation. Lord, you have chosen us. You have hand-selected us to be a part of this body here in Billings. You have hand-selected the other brethren as well. And I pray, Lord, that we as your members, as members of the same body, the same army, the same family, that we reach out to those who might be struggling or who aren't setting their priorities on the things of heaven, and that we help them, that we encourage them to be here, to be encouraged and to be built up. Lord, I thank you so much for the Word of God that continues to guide us and direct us. And I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling Holy Spirit that helps us to have clean consciences before you, that helps us to go out into the world and to make a difference and to stand strong and to do the things that are right and just in your eyes. Lord, I thank you again for Christ and for his example. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.